Lesson 127. Part 1. Warming up exercises. Spot dictation. Procrastination. You are going to listen to a passage. Some words on the printed passage have been taken out. Listen carefully. Fill in the blanks with the words you hear on the tape.
The verb procrastinate comes from the Latin procrastinare, which means to postpone until tomorrow. To procrastinate, then, is to delay doing something until some future time. And a procrastinator is someone who is always putting off what he or she should be doing right now. Those of us who have a tendency toward procrastination know that it is a terrible habit. Every day we tell ourselves that we must start doing things immediately. And each day we postpone our work, are late for deadlines, and put off keeping our promises to other people. Because we are always in the process of procrastinating, we are also always trying to catch up. We are always doing yesterday's job today, and tomorrow we will be doing today's unfinished work. There are people who rarely procrastinate. They are highly efficient and well organized, and they seem to get everything done on time. I suspect that they never leave home in the morning before they make the bed, never go to sleep at night before they finish their work, always answer their mail promptly, and are never late for appointments. As a result, they are probably always one step ahead of you and me.
Maybe the way to overcome procrastination is to change our habits gradually. We can start with a daily schedule of the things we want or need to accomplish. But let's be reasonable. We shouldn't crowd the list with too many tasks, and we should be realistic about what we can do. Especially in the beginning, we should be lenient with ourselves. After all, if we get discouraged at the start, we will go right back to our old habits. Finally, if we begin to follow our own schedule for each day, we will stop postponing the chores that face us. Life will become far less complicated, and each day will be easier to face. We will undoubtedly feel better about ourselves, too, because we will know that we can overcome our weaknesses and improve ourselves.
Years ago, not many people would have dreamed of doing the repairs and decorations in their own homes. In those days, labor was fairly cheap, and most people would have thought it worthwhile to employ a professional painter and decorator, unless, of course, they were either very hard up or were in the trade themselves. Today, however, is quite a different story. Men and women in all walks of life turn their hands to all sorts of jobs around the house, including painting, papering, putting up shelves and wall units, and tiling walls and floors. Some people with no professional training of any kind have even successfully built their own houses. These jobs have been made easier today by the introduction of prepared materials, which require the minimum amount of skill to use. In every high street throughout Britain nowadays, there is at least one do-it-yourself shop, containing a vast range of timber, tiles, paints, wallpapers, and floor coverings, besides tools of every description, including power drills and many accessories. Do-it-yourself is a booming business. All these shops do a roaring trade and look like continuing to do so. Probably the main reason for the do-it-yourself craze is the high cost of present-day labor and the shortage of building firms willing to do small jobs.
Exercise 1. Decide whether the statements you hear on the tape are true or false. Write T for true and F for false. Do-it-yourself was a dream for many people 30 years ago. In those days, most people employed professional workers to do the repairs and decorations. People could afford the services because they were better paid than they are today. Nowadays, people are crazy about do-it-yourself. Many people can build their own houses because they are very skillful. Do-it-yourself shops are making enormous profits. Nowadays, building firms everywhere are willing to do small jobs for people. This passage describes one of the most common spare time activities of people in Britain. Exercise 2. Summarize the passage by using the cues given in the exercise.
Common among people of all ages, the keeping apparently useless objects has never ceased to fascinate me. I do not mean serious collecting, such as stamps or old china, but the habit so many of us have of keeping things in case they come in handy. This is especially true of clothes, such as shoes, sweaters, and ancient raincoats, which, though out of date and worn out, remain hanging in our wardrobes, never looked at or put on, but just comfortingly there. An old man who lived next door to us at one time used to collect newspapers. He simply could not bear to throw a newspaper away, though once he had read it, he never glanced at it again. When he died at close on 90, two rooms of his house were filled to overflowing with nibbled, yellowing newspapers, which had become the nesting places for several families of mice. Then an aunt of mine had a passion for collecting string. To throw away a piece of string was to commit a deadly sin in her eyes. No piece of string was too short or too ragged to escape her attention. She saved the string off parcels and packages of all sorts, even luggage labels. Christmas was a torment for her, for she could not bear to see us taking scissors to cut the string round our brightly wrapped Christmas presents, and would sit anxiously watching, periodically diving to the floor to retrieve an end that had been carelessly discarded. It was a terrible blow to her when sellotape came into general use. In fact, she did not survive it long.
Exercises. Complete the report in note form according to what you hear.